Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yesterday, every day after the show, we have a post-show meeting with everybody involved in the show and Dave Beasing, and we talk about tomorrow's show, and then we talk about some of the stuff that we need to work on and notes. Yesterday, we had the kind of a laugh that you only get once every 2 or 3 years.
Up in the morning, it's 6 o'clock.
And basically, the laugh was I brought up Xander, who is Dave Beasing's son, brought his hoverboard up here one morning. I forget why, but he was on the air with
it. He was going to teach Katie how to do it.
Okay. And then Danny decides to get on it. Well, he was shaky from the beginning, and eventually the hoverboard just came out from under him, and Danny landed hard. Michael, who does our social media stuff, he slowed it down in slow motion. We have reposted it. If you just want... if you just want a good laugh, go to Mark in the Morning Facebook. Is it up, Mikey?
I'm checking. Hang on.
Everybody laughed except one person.
That would be Danny.
Yeah.
When I brought it up, I said, do we still have it? Danny wanted nothing to do with it.
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, well, we do have it. All right, so... a ton of show. It is our Father's Day special. Couple of things first. Game of Thrones, the episode this coming Sunday night, cost $20 million and twice as long to film it. Why? Taylor Swift and her new boyfriend, a professional photographer, said that the photographs of Taylor and this actor guy look
Tom
staged. Yeah. He says they look staged to him. Why would she do that? I'll explain, if in fact it's true. Waffle House is back in the news. Steph Curry, Golden State lost. Steph Curry got kicked out, and he threw his mouthpiece into the crowd. He got ejected. Now that mouthpiece is up for auction. You want it? What does Dad really want to do for Father's Day? Well, I can tell you. We have a Father's Day frenzy. We're going to focus on first-time dads. If you're a first-time father, we want to hear from you. Gray Drake guides us through all the movies. Steve Grant.
Yeah.
He's calling in to talk to his sweetie today, and he'll talk to Gina. We have three reasons today doesn't suck. We speak with Caitlyn Jenner. 5 seconds for $25. My kids are going to be on the air with me, and they're not telling me why. Dad, what are his favorite foods for Father's Day, and what gifts are hot? Plus, we're going to get that Danny video posted. All of this is coming your way on Mark in the Morning. Well, Cleveland has forced Game 7, victorious 115-101. Warriors MVP Steph Curry knocked down 30 points but fouled out and was ejected after protesting his sixth foul by throwing his mouth guard into the crowd. Warriors coach Steve Kerr says the fouls were ridiculous.
He had every right to be upset. He's the MVP of the league. He gets six fouls called on him. Three of them were absolutely ridiculous.
Now, if you want to buy Steph Curry's mouth guard, they're asking $5,000.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, somebody picked it up. So if you want it, $5,000 will cost you to get his mouth guard. And I have no interest.
And I would do anything for love.
Now, you're probably hearing about this. Last night, Meatloaf was in concert in the middle of a song and passed out. I mean, went down hard. He's in the hospital. There's been no release or word as to what happened or why.
Yeah, there's footage of it. It's a little hard to watch. I mean, he's in the middle of this song, and all of a sudden, he kind of just stumbles a little, and then he is down. People come running out to see what's going on, but it is bizarre.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
So, yesterday at 15 minutes until 8, I did a tribute to my father. And I just basically talked about the fact that we had to flounder with a broken relationship. I got probably 50 emails, and then the comments that were on Mark in the Morning Facebook was, it's just overwhelming. But I boiled it down to this one letter. I think this kind of represents what everybody was saying, and it's short. Damn it, Mark. I'm crying at my office. Stop it, you pussy. Love you, Doug.
That sounds about right. We've been flooded with emails. Emails you haven't even seen yet.
Wow. Wow. It's you know, I really did. Even right seconds before I was scheduled to do it, I thought about not doing it. Because it's so much easier to not say that stuff than to say it.
Right.
But the reason that I did it is because I do have a very deep connection with the people that listen to the show. And I've always had that. And I think that there is, and this was the resounding fact of what many people wrote. I did it because I think there are a lot of people that had a broken relationship with one of their parents. And I wanted to show everybody that I'm just like you.
Yeah.
It didn't affect my life per se, but it was tough. I would have liked to have had that bond. And I, as I said yesterday, I really wanted him to be proud of me. But I eventually did get that. But there are a lot of people that have to deal with that. And that was the reason that I did it. But I wanted to be very careful and not diss him.
Right.
As I talked about it.
And it didn't feel that way at all. You were very honest and very open and very vulnerable, but you were never attacking him or your relationship ever.
Yeah, and that was important to me because we both had to deal with that broken relationship.
Yeah.
I said it at the beginning, I wasn't the son that he was looking for, and he wasn't the father that I was looking for. Sometimes there's just two people that don't need to be in the same room together. And this was what that was. So anyway, those of you that took time to write, I was very moved by everything that you had to say. And I appreciate your kind words and the time that you took to write. So thank you very much.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And Conan O'Brien had the great Roseanne Barr on last night. And Roseanne has a movie coming out. I believe it's called Roseanne Barr for President. And she talked about what she would do if she were president. And she told Conan a few of those things. And this is pretty fun. Here we go.
You put a lot of thinking into ideas. You had one idea. You want an all-female army.
Yeah, these are the things I had for our country.
Why an all-female army?
Well, you know, because you think about it. Everybody's on their period at the exact same time. Think about it. We might start winning some of these wars for a change, ladies and gentlemen. Especially if we're fighting against women that are thinner than us.
And you want to put prayers back in school, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I want first, can I say about how I'm going to fix this economy?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I will give all the broke-ass people $10,000 per week as a sort of a stimulus, you see. And then the rest of us will go out and invest in liquor stores, internet porn, and lottery tickets. You're welcome, America. Yes, I would put back prayer in all the schools because the children really need that prayer these days, you know? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now that everybody's carrying a gun and the teachers are trying to them.
Wow. They need that. Wow. Conan, it just like he got up, threw everything down, and walked away. It was awesome. There you go. There's Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo. Sit. Good dog.
Now, Gina's been talking about this 30-30 documentary on O.J. Simpson, O.J. Made in America. Mm-hmm. I've not yet seen it. I plan on seeing it because, Gina, you're saying it's absolutely amazing.
It's incredible. It doesn't matter what you know or what you remember about the O.J. trial or what you saw from the miniseries. This is even more than you ever realized.
We have the producer of the ESPN docuseries, Carolyn Waterlow. Carolyn, how many hours of footage did you have to go through?
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a lot. We have been working on this for 2 years, and we filmed over 70 interviews. And we went through hundreds and hundreds of hours of archival material. I had an amazing producer whose job it was just to mainly just gather as much as material as we could. And You know, O.J. had a huge media presence that, you know, a lot of people have sort of forgotten his fame from the 70s particularly. And, you know, he was in commercials. He was playing still. He was a sportscaster. He was in TV movies. And so, I mean, that alone was just a huge amount of material. Obviously, his football career. And then obviously, you know, all of the sort of history of Los Angeles that we tried to put into the film. We went through archives in L.A. and San Francisco, where O.J. grew up, and Buffalo, where he played. And so, yeah, it was a massive effort with a lot of material. And then, you know, 9 months of trial footage.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with the producer, Carolyn Waterlow, of the ESPN 30 for 30 O.J. Made in America. Carolyn, whenever I've done a creative project, before it begins, I always have an idea of how I want it to turn out. Are you proud of the way this has turned out?
I'm very, very proud. All of us are. And I think, you know, it started out as something that we always wanted, that ESPN wanted to do and make it sort of bigger and more in-depth and more comprehensive and sort of nuanced, I think, than a lot of things that have been done about this story and the trial particularly. So we wanted to put back a lot of context that we felt was important to understand the trial in maybe a new way. And so, yeah, we started out knowing we wanted to do something big and comprehensive, and I don't think we ever totally anticipated that it would all sort of come together in this way. And it did get sort of about 2.5 hours longer in the making of it. And you know, ESPN was supportive and said, you know, yeah, it all works and it all seems important and relevant in the telling of the story. So that was nice to have them support us that way.
You know, something else that was so interesting in this that, you know, again, we've seen all the trial footage, you know, we've seen the mini series, we all know the story. And there was something about this that it actually hit me, and this is, I don't think I'm alone, when you're showing all the footage about Nicole and about the relationship, and you go, oh my God, this was a real person. She was a real woman with real fears, and she was murdered. And it just kind of hits you the way you really humanize her story when everyone else is so caught up in the sensational aspect of the trial. So thank you for doing that.
Well, and then, I mean, it's nice to hear you say that. I mean, I think that was certainly the goal, was to, you know, we have this 20-year hindsight on the trial, and then we have this kind of 50, 60-year history, you know, that you're looking back at that all comes into play as well. And yeah, I think the goal was to sort of take this sober, calmer, maybe more human look at the people involved. And yeah, the intense tragedy that is at the core of this movie, which so much of that, you know, there was such a media circus, obviously, around, and that's the word that comes up a lot, yeah. Around the trial and the sort of immediate kind of reality show quality of that trial as it played out, that, you know, you sometimes the big picture got, you know, some of the details got lost. And so we definitely were trying hard to put some of that back.
Part four of the ESPN docuseries, ESPN's 30 for 30, O.J. Made in America. Part four airs tonight at 9. Part five is tomorrow night at 9 on ESPN. And if you're freaking out, how do I see the ones I've missed? All episodes are available on Watch ESPN, ESPN app. Carolyn, congratulations and thank you for the time.
Thanks so much for having me, and thank you for watching. I appreciate it.
So Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson were doing a press junket for their new movie, Central Intelligence, which is out today. Gray Drake will tell us about it. So The Rock and Kevin are doing this press junket. In walks Tyler Perry.
I thought I was fighting one kid and I got jumped by a gang.
No.
Uh-oh.
No. 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 Wait a second.
I'm going to tell you something.
Right. Why does this reporter have so much money?
This is the richest reporter on the planet.
Good to see you, Tyler.
All right, brother.
You, that's the first thing you say. He just looks like he has so much money. Very good guy, by the way.
Now, I'm going to wind up seeing that movie this weekend. Skeeter on her deathbed. And by the way, she's the best that she has been in 2.5 weeks today. So I think we're on the other side. But she's dying to see this movie. So I will be sitting, I will be enjoying Central Intelligence with Dwayne The Rock and Kevin Hart, my good buddy Kevin. All right, now this is weird to me. Believe it or not, according to a new study, 55% of Americans did not use their vacation days last year. According to experts, this disturbing no vacation trend began 15 years ago. So why, Gina, do you think that people are not taking their vacation days?
I think they're afraid of being replaced and losing their jobs.
Very interesting. Employees fear coming back to a mountain of work. Mm. They believe there isn't anybody else who can cover for them if they aren't in the office, and they worry they will be perceived negatively by higher-ups.
Oy.
The employees who did take all their days had one interesting thing in common. They sat down with a calendar and planned their vacations in advance.
So we're just too big of narcissists. Nobody can do what I do. I have to be here to do it.
Right. And I do think that you're right. I think there's a certain percentage that fears whoever is brought in to fill in for them will be better than them.
Hey, Mark,
I
will be taking vacation next week, and I would just love it if there was still a chair for me when I got back.
Gina,
mm-hmm.
What have I said to you time and time again?
To please put on pants when I come here.
I've said to you time and time again, this is a yap-free zone. What have you spent the entire morning doing?
Oh, yapping.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Greg.
Although I gotta give credit where credit is due. Mikey just said something hilarious.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
In the closely watched trial to determine whether rock behemoth Led Zeppelin stole another band's music for its iconic hit Stairway to Heaven, two music experts Thursday suggested similarities exist between the two songs. While Zeppelin guitarist and songwriter Jimmy Page continue to deny allegations of theft, we'll have some more news on that later, something that I take a huge personal issue with about another singer-songwriter. The Goleta fire is still burning in Santa Barbara County. Some mandatory evacuations are in place. Thinking good thoughts for our Santa Maria listeners. And here's what's trending in sports. The Cavs beat the Warriors last night, 115-101. This means Game 7 is on, and it's happening Sunday. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, a big old Father's Day frenzy. But first, Tom Petty. This is Mark in the Morning.
Thank you, Tom Petty. Mr. Petty, sir. Led Zeppelin, as we're speaking, is on trial. A band, Spirit, is claiming that Led Zeppelin ripped off a song of theirs called Taurus, and it became Stairway to Heaven. If you haven't heard it, here's just a little bit of a comparison. All right. We'll come back to that. Speaking of that trial, on the phone, we have David Schultz. He works for Premier Radio News and Press.
Yeah, no, they're getting him ready. They're getting him ready.
Oh, so we're not ready.
No.
All right. So you heard the comparisons of those two.
Yeah.
Gina, this is a yap-free zone.
No yapping?
No yapping.
I'll try.
So if Led Zeppelin's going to be sued for that, then shouldn't we sue Dolly Parton?
Wait, what?
Yap free. Shouldn't we sue Dolly Parton for her song We Used To? Where is it?
Okay, here's the thing. This is if this was anybody else, I'd say, yeah, we have a little problem. This is Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton does not steal. Dolly Parton is an angel that was sent to this earth to make all of us happy. And Dolly Parton can do anything she wants. And by the way, Dolly Parton is a very shrewd businesswoman, and she would never do anything to hurt another musician. Thank you.
She showed up on Mark and Brian like 10 minutes late, and I laughed for days. She said, I'm sorry I'm late, but it takes a lot of time and work to look this cheap. All right, we welcome in from Premier Radio News and Prep, David Schultz. He is here for the trial. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
Good, thank you. And so what are you seeing? First of all, what is the scene in the courtroom?
We're not in the courtroom yet. Yesterday, it's just a regular courtroom, except Jimmy Page and Robert Plant are sitting there, which is probably not very regular for a courtroom.
Okay, so as I had heard, the prosecution is spending most of their time building a case that Led Zeppelin knew Spirit and Spirit knew Led Zeppelin.
Yes. And that Led Zeppelin were very familiar with Spirit's music.
Have they gotten into the point where the jury has heard the comparison of the two songs yet?
Well, this is an interesting thing, because what is actually inadmissible in the trial is the original recording of Taurus. The only thing that can be played is a version of the sheet music version of Taurus, which was actually transcribed probably on piano, which makes it hard to play on acoustic guitar. It's a very interesting thing. There are a lot of procedural and legal questions that you wouldn't think of. You would say, just play on, you know, one version, play the other version. But
that the defense is pulling a little bit of a shenanigan, because they had to have been the one that says, nope, can't play it.
Well, that's actually the judge who said that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Defense on their own couldn't stop it. They need the court to say, well, that's not part of the trial. They made a motion that it wouldn't be, and it was accepted for whatever reason. And my legal expertise kind of ends before that.
That's bizarre.
David, I'm just going to ask you for a personal opinion. Do you think Taurus has a case?
In the courtroom yesterday, they had some expert witnesses, musicologists, who made what I would think would be a very good case for the similarity between the songs. Again, it's these procedural and legal things that could get in the way of them actually winning the case, but we will see. Juries are funny things.
David, I would very much like to speak with you again as the trial continues to unfold, if you can find the time for us.
I'd love to.
All right. There you go.
It's a Father's Day frenzy, Mark.
It is our Father's Day frenzy. Let's kick it up with an artist I hate.
You're in Madonna's world, Mark.
Mark, you're in Madonna's world now.
I can still feel that guy's breath on my ear.
The ultimate father song right here.
Ba, 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 ba. I'm keeping my baby. Gonna keep my baby.
Yeah, so let's talk this one through. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's asking him... Oh, here's an uplifting tribute to dads.
Just the other day, the world and away, they were playing catch.
It occurred to me, my boy was just like me. I didn't spend time with him when he was a kid, and now he's not spending time with me. My boy is just like me.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. I'm going to do my best not to cry through this one.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
I'm going to completely ignore you, but we'll get together whenever I get home. Good God. Now, this is Elvis, but holy crap.
Today I stumble from my bed with thunder crashing in my head. My
so let's talk this one through. His wife, his kid's mother, just left.
Uh-huh.
And they're begging Daddy, don't cry.
Oh my God.
A voice inside my coffee cup.
And his coffee cup is talking to him. Don't cry, Daddy.
Don't cry, Daddy.
Is this happening?
Daddy's assignment, he put this together. His assignment was clear. Go find the most depressing songs that you can so that we can celebrate Father's Day. You still got me and little Tommy. And we'll get a brand new mommy in here.
Oh, my God.
In the meantime, talk to your coffee mug. What do we got? Oh, okay. Now we're cooking. We got some Stevie Wonder up in here. Up in the fishes.
Uh-huh. Wait a second.
Well, he's a father, and he's saying, isn't she lovely?
Okay.
My daughter, my kid. Okay, good. Now we're cooking.
Yeah. I would assume one of the most popular first wedding dances / walking down the aisle.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money.
Nice segue, Danny.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad. But there's a silver lining behind every cloud.
I love this song.
Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of black lander. But we'd get together in a family circle, singing loud. Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Me and little brother joined right in there. Singing seems to help a troubled soul.
By far
soul.
My favorite.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle
everybody
won't be broken. By
Katie's
by
going.
Lord, by and by.
Katie's going crazy.
Daddy sing bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Me and little brother will join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Oh, God. He heard his father's voice in his baby's newborn tears.
This is the
I'm
best worst
shoot myself,
frenzy.
Danny.
This best worst frenzy of all time.
If you just joined us, we're in the middle of depression.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Mark, I'm looking at the list. It's not getting any better.
My bad.
Yeah.
Between the present and the past.
My father and I hated each other. I'm going to sing about it.
Good tune, man. Good tune.
Oh, it's a great song. When Johnny Cash is the highlight.
Yeah. The most uplifting.
Wow.
On a different day.
It's a mix.
And if you don't give up and don't give in, you may just be okay.
Yeah.
From the moment I heard cry,
I went with Dr. Evil here.
I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone.
We should never tell Danny it's dealer's choice ever again.
This is also a good time to call for 5 seconds for $5 since we haven't solicited a phone call, Mark.
Thank you, yes. 888-696-1003. We're in the middle of something.
Father's Day fun.
5 seconds for $25 today, by the way.
Woof.
Everybody's talking about it.
Why didn't you go with the good version?
Which one?
Just the two of us. Is it not George, but something Washington? Grover Washington Jr.
I went with Dr. Evil. 5 seconds for 25.
Let me tell you about my best
okay.
friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a one-boy cuddly toy.
Let me tell my up, my down, my pride and joy.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Yada.
This was about a single dad.
I guess, yeah. Because it was based on the TV show.
Only a child alone and wild.
Oh, God.
Cabinet maker.
This is one of the greatest songs of all time. But I really would like to end it here.
No.
My life, I mean.
No, it gets better.
No, it doesn't.
I love this song.
Oh, it's great.
It's not a Happy Father's
Day. But Jesus.
I never can repay.
It's a tribute to his father.
Yes, it is.
A quiet man of music denied a simpler fate. He tried to be a soldier once, but his music wouldn't wait.
I see.
He earned his love through discipline, a thundering velvet hand. His gentle means of sculpting souls took me years to understand. The leader of the band is tired, and his eyes are growing old.
Everybody got their lighter?
His blood runs through my instrument, and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band.
Oh, yes! Yes! Yeah. Finally!
Well, what does that mean, Papa's got a brand new bag?
I think you know.
I really don't.
I'm assuming... Hold on.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
I always assume that he got a brand new lady on the side.
Oh.
But that's just me. I'm projecting. I have no idea.
Papa got a brand new bag.
Brand new bag.
So let's celebrate Father's Day by knowing that Dad's cheating on Mama.
Happy Father. Hot song, though.
Ain't no drag. Papa got a brand new bag.
Bless you.
Never heard it.
Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Prince to come.
My father's eyes.
Praying for healing rain to restore my soul again. Just a torrent.
I don't think this frenzy will ever hit best of Mark in the Morning.
Now, in case you were about to get happy about anything, Eric Clapton wrote this imagining what it would have been like to look in his father's eyes, someone he never knew.
Great. Oh, yeah.
I need a drink.
I like it, though.
Yeah. Oh, how did Aaron Neville not make this list? Dance with my father again?
Cat Stevens, Father and Son.
Oh, you know how Mark feels about Cat Stevens.
I know.
Yosef.
Oh, yeah, a little CSN. Hey, wait a second. According to my findings, this is written by Graham Nash, inspired by a photograph of a small boy holding a hand grenade. Just when you thought things were on the up and up.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
How did a grenade get in this?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is from
I'm
my
about
brain.
Taking my pants off.
You might need to.
Did slowly go by.
We better have a strong finish, because this has been rough.
We do.
Is it almost over?
The one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why.
You boys need to get some coffee.
You, so just look at them and sigh.
I'll tell somebody who needs to double fist a cup of coffee. That's Paul Simon. Oh. Oh.
You happy now?
One of the greatest songs in the history of music. And my father died. Yeah. So good, though.
I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you.
Tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son... Papa was a rolling stone.
Out there cheating on me, boy.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
I never liked him.
And when he died, all he left was a
Are there no happy songs about Daddy?
Apparently not.
Papa was a rolling
yes.
stone, my son, yeah. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left was a lone.
Well... For all
all you dads out there who really enjoyed this frenzy, happy Father's Day.
Daddy's crying. It was good.
Well, as I say, that's 15 seconds we ain't gonna, or 15 minutes we ain't gonna get back.
Oh, man. 5 seconds for $25.
Good work, Danny.
Oh.
Really well done. All right. It is time for 5 seconds for $25. We welcome Anthony to the program. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
What? Tom.
Oh. Mark, I'm sorry.
I answered them both.
Happy Father's Day.
Looking at one of the guys at work. I'm sorry. <It's okay.
laughs> Good morning, Tom. Just call me Tom the rest of the day if
That'd
you would.
That'd be great.
Anthony, what do you do for a living?
I'm the welder that called in on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. You love this game, don't you?
I love the show. I love the game, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, since we've already spoken and we talked all about welding, I've learned more about welding two pieces of metal together from you than anybody else. He doesn't wear the big mask. He puts goggles on.
Oh, you remember. Look at you.
Of course
you.
I do. No, okay.
That's me.
I got this.
And we talked about me and my wife still having sex face-to-face.
Oh, and you were truthful about that. You are having sex face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
How often? How many times a week for you?
You know, to be honest, if I'm lucky, once a week, but I try to sneak in 2 times a week.
Sneak in.
Trust me, she knows you're there. She can smell you. All right, Anthony, here's your question. See how you do. You've got 5 seconds to answer it. If you do, that is $25. Are you ready?
I'm ready, my friend.
What 1999 acquisition forced the Cincinnati Reds to add 10 more phones to their process ticket orders?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ticket sales.
What did you say?
Ticket sales.
Ticket sales.
No, we were looking for the acquisition of Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. He was such a stud.
Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah,
they had to get ready to sell a lot more tickets. Well, Anthony, sure you're going to call next week, no matter how much I beg you not to. So I'll see you sometime next week.
You'll hear from me again next week.
All right, Anthony, have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
We got Gray Drake coming up shortly to tell us about the new movies that are out and about in the theater. All right, so every day by proxy, I wind up watching Ellen with my wife. And Ellen has been promoting the crap out of Dory. Gray Drake joins us from Premier Radio News and Prep. So what did you think of Dory, Gray?
Fantastic movie. We've waited like 13 years for this sequel. And just like Dory, everybody's pretty much forgotten the plot of Finding Nemo, right? There's a fish. He's lost. Whatever. And Dory really reminds us that Pixar is at the top of their game, man. It's fantastic movies, fantastic supporting cast, and just keep swimming, baby, right to the ticket booth, because this movie is amazing.
Tomato meter.
95% certified fresh.
Whoa. Now, I am going to see this because my wife is a gigantic fan of The Rock and Kevin Hart, so we're going to go see Central Intelligence. What did you think?
Yeah. You guys are going to be pleased, and it's going to be an awesome date night, and you're probably going to go home and do naughty things to each other because it's just that kind of movie. I'm telling you, it inspires greatness in everyone because the tagline is correct. In life, all you need is a little heart and a big Johnson.
Now, just real quickly, tomato meter on Central Intelligence.
Well, it's barely fresh at 61%, but listen, reuniting these guys after their characters were in high school together and The Rock may or may not be in the CIA just means this movie's funny. They got chemistry. It's good.
All right. And then a little small release of a horror film called Clown. Did you see it?
Yes. And you got to know about this one, Mark. It's on video on demand, directed by a guy named John Watts. Imagine if, as a dad, you had to fill in for the clown at your kid's birthday party and you put on a mysterious clown costume. Ooh. And it wouldn't come off.
Oh, God. Oh,
I'm in. This lady, yeah. we missed you last week. Matt's nice, but we really missed you, Gray. So she is senior editor for the Premier Radio News and Prep. Gray, get out there and you and your wild hair and have a good weekend.
That's right. Little Heart, Big Johnson. Everybody have fun.
You may ask me how.
Sweet Lord, baby Jesus.
My Lord.
The only reason I'm praying to you right now is Gina's father, Steve Grad, loves it when I do. But seriously, sweet Lord, baby Jesus, please help me not kill Danny for that Father's Day frenzy we just had to sit through.
That was brutal.
Amen. We now welcome in the great Steve Grad. Good morning, Steve.
I thought you were welcoming in me.
Where's
he? Here we go.
Well, happy Father's Day, Steve. Things,
pardon me, sir?
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, and same to you. Really, it's great. I'm so glad to be on the show, really. You know, I always love it. Even though the Dodgers played late last night, and yeah. I slept about an hour and 15 minutes. No,
the Dodgers played late, so we had to stay at work very, very late.
Well, here's your stupid old daughter, Steve.
Hi, Dad. I told you.
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, I'm sorry. You busy?
Okay, Gina. I can hear you now.
We didn't want to interrupt you. So I told you, you know, we're going to call in. You don't have to do anything. I decided this year to write you a letter. And I will try and keep it together. And because of a certain movie genre that you love very much, I thought we'd play this little ditty in the background. Hit it, Mikey. Here we go. My dad is the guy I crawled through a table of mashed potatoes and gravy to get to when I was a baby. He's the one I'd wait up for, standing up in my crib in the middle of the night, waiting for him to come home from work so we could watch The Three Stooges. Now, I didn't actually know what The Three Stooges were, mind you, so he'd just put on a late-night televangelist and tell me it was Shemp. He was the dad who'd jog past my school at recess and end up leading an obstacle course around the playground for the entire class before continuing on his way. He'd sing the words Baby Gina over and over to the tune of Perry Como's Till the End of Time until I grew to hate it, and then grew to love it again. He was the only one who could turn my blood-curdling fear of going on my first roller coaster, the Zambezi Zinger, into the greatest day of my life by simply having me yell as we raced down the hill, Stick Baloney up your nose! My dad was, he once got so tired of begging my brother and I to stop watching TV and brush our teeth that he finally stomped out of the room and screamed at us, Oh, the hell with both of you, do whatever you want! And it worked. He'd come in from mowing the lawn on a scorching hot Kansas day and dripping with sweat, begrudgingly allow me to give him a makeover with all of the makeup in my mom's bathroom drawer. Sometimes my dad would roll a ball back and forth on the ground with me and make up names for my Cabbage Patch Kids. Other times, my seasoned sports announcer father would let me teach him how to dribble a basketball. He regaled me with sports stories and B-Western trivia, leaving me with more information about Gabby Hayes than any little girl should ever have to know. Now flash forward 25 years, and instead of making up games and driving me to T-ball practice, we recite lines from our favorite movies and talk about grown-up stuff. He still regales me with B-Western trivia, but now with a side of advice and encouragement that I need as an adult. Things like, always be professional at work. Remember, you can still get sunburned even if it's cloudy outside. And possibly his favorite piece of advice. Anything that can go right will go right, now and always. Steve Grad is a smart, quirky, fun-loving dad to two grown-up kids, a dear friend to my amazing mom, and a celebrated broadcaster to all of Los Angeles. It's always been a priority of his to make sure we knew how much he loves us, and that's meant the world. So happy Father's Day, Dad. They don't get luckier than me when it comes to parents. And as you like to remind me in our sea of inside jokes, I know you have to take your vest to the tailor because you're busting your buttons with pride. Yes, I still owe you that crystal slop bucket. And finally, just to clear things up, when I'd pretend to be asleep so you'd carry me up from the car, I was indeed dreaming of angels. Happy Father's Day.
Well, Gina, to quote you, I won't be needing this anymore.
Who's going to put that in there? But it's a sight gag. I love you.
I love you, Gina Gratz. Thank you. And the only piece of advice you left out was that I gave you was from Hopalong Cassidy. And I gave it to your great-grandmother, too, when I was 7 years old after watching it on television. Always save your last bullet when the bad guys are shooting it out in the canyon.
My father, everybody.
That was so thoughtful. Thank you. And really, and thank God I didn't cry on radio.
I'm shocked, by the way.
I know. I only do it on KNX.
Yeah. You really had to separate, like, Three Faces of Eve on that one, because I was a mess.
Oh, no, that was so nice. Of course, I'm sure Mark got it from two daughters.
Well, Steve, I will tell you, getting to know your daughter over the past couple of years, not only is she an absolute sweetheart, not only does she have no drama, she is, her veins drip with radio, and that's because of you. This girl is the finest broadcaster I have ever worked with.
Oh, my God, thank you. Mikey, get that and save it.
I'll need that for later. All right, happy Father's Day. I'll see you tomorrow. And you said fish, but I don't know what kind of fish.
The kind that swims in the water.
All right.
Oh, please stop me before I do it again.
Okay. All right. He wants fish.
You guys are great. And
Brussels
Mark,
sprouts. Yeah.
Yes,
Mark,
Steve.
Just for in your honor, somebody play Alabama Bound. Gina, go look it up. Let's call on
Western.
The guitar.
This is my life. This is my life for over three
thank
decades.
Thank you all. And Gina, honey, thank you. I love you so much.
Love you too.
See you tomorrow.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Good morning. Hello, Jackie. I'm going to ask a favor if you could help me with. My son is turning 30 this week, and he's also celebrating his very first Father's Day. We are a Mark in the Morning family since day one, as well as Mark and Brian, and he also listened to all of Mark's podcasts before he was back on the radio. Anyway, I was wondering if you could give this email to Mark and ask him to do a shout-out to my son, Paul Allen, and wish him a happy Father's Day and a happy birthday. I'm just trying to make this year a special birthday on Father's Day, and if you could help, I would be very grateful. Paul Allen, happy Father's Day, happy birthday. And if you are a first-time dad, we'd like to hear from you. What are you looking forward to on your very first Father's Day? And Gina, that letter was spectacular.
Oh, thank you very much. And by the way, if you are going to call us, you might want to try the number 888-696-1003. 888-696-1003.
I knew I left something out. Oh. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Gina Gray.
Well, among recent reports of poor health, Meatloaf collapsed on stage while performing in concert Thursday night in Canada. He was in the middle of I Would Do Anything for Love. No word yet on the state of his condition, but we will keep you posted. Little Jack Aiello has taken the internet by storm, doing a really decent couple of impressions of all the presidential candidates. We have it up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. You should definitely check it out. It is hilarious. And here's what's trending in sports. Golden State Warriors Steph Curry lost his cool and threw his mouthpiece toward the stands. That happened last night. Guess who he hit? He hit a son of one of the owners, the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just laughing that you hiccuped in the middle of that.
Hey, man, I'm drinking water like crazy. I got a hydrate. I was crying. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we'll tell you why all of America was glued to its TV today in Three Reasons Today Doesn't Suck. But first, The Doors. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, Three Reasons Today Doesn't Suck.
One.
It didn't matter where you were. Whether you were at home or whether you were at work, everybody in the United States was glued to their televisions because it was on this day in 1994, O.J. Simpson and his friend Al Cowlings led police on a low-speed pursuit chase in a white Ford Bronco.
Just let me get to my house.
Okay, we're going
to
do that.
I swear to you, I'll give you what. I'll give you my whole body.
Okay.
I just need to get to my house.
Okay. We're going to do that. Just throw the gun out the window.
I can't do that.
We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you go up there. Just
now, the question comes to my mind, and I learned something about this that I didn't know existed, which brings us to number two. Why did OJ need to get to his house so desperately?
Two.
Kim Kardashian clearly should have become a detective because she says she conducted a search
that proved her late father was not guilty of smuggling bloody clothes and weapons out of O.J. Simpson's home after the murders of Ron Goldman and Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole. Plenty of conspiracy theory types say that photos of Robert Kardashian removing a bag from Simpson's estate point to him as an accessory to the murders. But Kim tells GQ magazine she knows better. She said, quote, people said at the time that he joined Simpson's defense team so he couldn't be called as a witness because he had that Louis Vuitton bag that supposedly had the murder weapon and stuff like that. But that bag was sitting at my father's house. I remember I went through it. The news was like, where's the Louis Vuitton bag? And I'm like, it's upstairs. I totally went through it, and it was just toiletries and clothes and golf clothes. Random stuff. I'm pretty sure it's like still in probably my dad's storage. Kim was 13 at the time of the murders. I did not know that theory.
There's videotape footage of him carrying it out of the house. OJ would not just say, hey, can you pick up my dry cleaning?
I just think it's... all OJ wanted was to get home. And I just wonder why.
Well, yep.
I think that's where the LAPD was going to arrest him. They gave him a time that he had to be at his house so that they could arrest him. So that's why I believe he was getting home. I believe that was in the movie, wasn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah.
3.
And it was on this day in 1972, the Rolling Stones' Exile on Main Street hits the number one selling album. Three Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by Bristol Farms, your extraordinary food store, keeping it local since 1982. Now, today being the last show before Father's Day, we're kind of focusing on first-time dads. We go to Travis. He's calling from Palm Desert. How old is your kid, Travis?
He is 10 months old, Mark.
Boy or girl?
A little boy, Austin Barnes.
Nice. And so this is going to be your first Father's Day?
That is correct.
And what are you hoping for on Father's Day?
On Father's Day, I'm just hoping for a wonderful day with my son and my soon-to-be wife. And in the long run, I'd love to be, you know, idolize how the story that Gina told about her father and the wonderful stories you guys have been telling these last couple of days.
Well, listen, from all of us, happy, happy first Father's Day.
Thank you very much, Mark. It means a lot.
Talk to you
soon.
I'm
very excited.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
All right. The episode scheduled to air this Sunday might blow the roof off in the world of Game of Thrones. This episode, one episode, cost $20 million to make. The episode is called Battle of the Bastards. It will feature the biggest battle in the history of Game of Thrones and maybe in the history of television. It required 600 crew members and 500 extras. And while most TV dramas are shot in 7 to 10 days, this particular episode spent 25 days on one battle sequence alone.
Oh, God, I can't wait. And because you just gave the title, I think I know what it's going to be about. There's a lot of characters. I have no idea, but I'm saying there's a lot of characters on this show that are bastards, quote unquote, that have illegitimate children or that the children are illegitimate. And maybe they're all going to finally fight it out for the throne. Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, apparently you've got something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm, I go on too many dates, but I can't.
All right, listen carefully to this because this is odd. Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift are seriously dating. They just jetted off for a relaxing weekend for parts unknown. However, a professional celebrity photographer told Cosmo, quote, my first instinct when seeing the pictures of Taylor and Tom is that they are staged. Here's one theory this morning. Taylor's team got advanced warning about the GQ interview with Kim Kardashian, so her publicity machine swung into high gear. British actor Tom Hiddleston was recruited to vacation with Taylor in Rhode Island. One photographer was secretly alerted to when and where Taylor would cuddle with her boyfriend. Their kiss broke the internet. Voila! Taylor Swift and her love life won the media cycle and completely overshadowed Kim Kardashian's takedown. What did Taylor want you to hear? Kim basically called her a two-faced liar. Ooh. According to Kim, Swift helped Kanye write the rap, "I Feel Like Me and Taylor Might Still Have Sex, Why I Made That Bitch Famous."
I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why I made that bitch famous.
But the moment Kanye debuted the song at Madison Square Garden in February, Taylor acted disgusted. She denied approval for Kanye to sexually objectify her. She took a step further at the Grammys. Taylor called out the people who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame. So, if all of that is to be believed, Taylor heard that Kim was going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
They created a circus mm-hmm. of a new boyfriend to overshadow Kim Kardashian.
Being famous is a lot of work.
Now, Sunday is obviously Father's Day, and I am very excited to tell you that we have one of the most famous fathers in the world on the line, President Barack Obama. It is an honor, Mr. President. Thank you. What? Okay, I'm being told the president had to step away and cancel. Who is our backup guest?
Hey, Mark. Caitlyn Jenner here. And things are about to get all sorts of fierce up in this biatch.
Okay, fine. Thanks for calling in, Caitlyn. I suppose I should wish you a happy Father's Day?
Hell to the yeah, you should, Mark. And thank you. Yes, even though I identify as a woman in every other aspect of my stunning, fierce life, I still identify as a father to my wonderful children, whom I adore.
Well, that's sweet.
Yes, my 4 to 6 kids mean the world to me. Just like it would mean the world to me if you tuned into the upcoming season 3 of my hit reality show, I Am Kate. What?
Caitlin, your 4 to 6 kids, do you not know how many kids you have?
Of course I do. My kids are my world, Mark. Yes, I'm just nuts over little... I want to say kibosh?
Kylie?
Right. And my other daughter, Kaleidoscope?
Absolutely not.
I know. I was testing you, Mark. I know her name isn't Kaleidoscope. That's not even a person's name. No, her name is Kablamo Marpan Schman Fippy Dippy Polly Wally Nippy Schmath.
All right, wait. Listen, you're only making noises and hoping you land on something that resembles a name.
You know what else is making a lot of noise? The Mm-mm. buzz over my fierce, totes redonkulous hit reality juggernaut, I Am Kate, flying at your retinas with a 3rd season very soon on E, which of course stands for Egads, Caitlyn Jenner just fierced us all so hard with her fierceness.
Caitlyn, I'm really concerned that you don't even know who your kids are, and it seems like your priority in life is your reality show, not your kids.
Oh, bite your tongue, Mark. My daughter, Clumpy Darius Livermush, is dear to me, as is her brother, Sir Puffington Razzmatazz Jr.
That doesn't even make any sense, Caitlyn. If that were his name, it would mean your name is Sir Puffington Razzmatazz Sr. And why would he be Sir? He's not British or a knight. This is sad, Caitlyn.
Wow, you're really making me question what kind of father I am. Not only that, you're making me question who I am as a person.
I see.
This has turned out to be a super dramatic situation.
Then I apologize.
No need. Would you mind saying all of that again? I've got you on speaker now, and I want to do a few more takes.
You're filming this?
Of course I am. My show just can't be about strutting around in my glam room and killing people with my car all the time. I got to mix it up. Papa's got a brand new bag of fierce.
Thank you for calling in, Caitlyn.
Happy Fiercer's Day, bitches.
Hey, Eric.
Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to tell you to have a fantastic Father's Day.
Hey, you do the same, and I loved your tribute to your dad yesterday. I was in tears.
I swear to God, I did not mean to cry. It was going to be fine, and then Gina cried today.
Couldn't help it. Oh, by the way, Eric, yeah. Speaking of putting makeup on fathers and sons and like I did to my dad, I saw the funniest picture of your children that you posted on Instagram.
Oh, putting makeup on him?
She is just doing her little brother up in just the blush and the rouge and the eyeshadow, and he's looking at her with stars in his eyes like, oh my God, my big sister's paying attention to me. I don't care what she does.
He tolerates so much abuse, you don't even know.
And Mr. Trump, how do you plan to spend Father's Day?
You know what? I'm probably going to go out on a date with Ivanka, you know, just as a father. What? Where's your mind? Get your mind out of the gutter.
And Mr. Letterman, how do you and Paul plan to spend Father's Day?
Yes, I'm going to take Paul fly fishing out in Montana with Harry.
Oh, yeah, Dave. We're going to catch a big one for sure.
Eric, have a fantastic Father's Day, my friend.
All right, you two the same. Thanks.
See ya.
Speaking of diapers, I went to Waffle House last night. Tell you, I thought the IHOP was a dump until I went into a Waffle House. Wow, they're not even trying in there.
Customers at a Waffle House restaurant in Georgia got an unwanted side order of sausage they didn't order. Police say 36-year-old Bashir Rashid drove to the Waffle House in his BMW, got out of his car naked, tried to enter the restaurant. An employee called 911 and reported that the guy was peeing on the door.
Oh, a sober fella?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long since you've been to a Waffle House?
Couple years ago, because do we have them here?
There's one in Yorba Linda, but I don't know.
No, I definitely haven't been to that one. I've been to one before.
The last time I went, it was the morning of my, what do you call it when they put the camera up your butt?
Colonoscopy.
That. And so, obviously, you have to spend, the worst part of it is you have to spend the entire day before drinking this gallon of this stuff that just cleans you out.
Like a salt gel water.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. So the morning of the thing, I had it done, and we then went to Waffle House.
Mm-hmm.
Waffle House. And I ordered everything there was to have. Everything. Waffle, eggs, sausage, biscuits,
oh my
toast,
God.
And I polished it.
Did you keep it down? Or did it all come back up?
Oh, yeah, no, there were no issues.
Wow.
Because by that time, I was starving.
Wow, good on you.
Hey, you do what you have to do. Okay, coming up, we're going to do some sports with Todd, and the Thompson kids join us at 20 minutes after 8. So, as you know, Donald Trump has been attacked by many, claiming that his Trump University was really nothing more than a scam, and thousands have made that claim, including the young lady who's on the phone with Sherry Winkleman. She claims the exact same thing. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
So, what kind of a class did you sign up for at Trump U?
I signed up for two courses. The first introductory seminar was $1,495. And then the gold elite package, which was $34,995.
So you and thousands of others are claiming scam. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So you went to the first one, which was roughly $1,500. What was it?
It was supposed to be a course in dealing with foreclosures. A lot of people in the room had lost money in real estate, lost money in the stock market. Everybody was looking for an opportunity. Some information was conveyed, but mostly it would just give you enough of a hook to be able to come back, you know, for the next seminar. So I left those 3 days without really having anything I could apply, but that was the whole hook, is that if you take the entire university, and it wasn't even a university, that was never classified by the New York Board of Education. So the hook was, if you keep coming back, you're going to get all the skills and knowledge you need and have a mentor that's going to work with you one-on-one throughout the process for a year-long program.
Okay, so then you spent $35,000 for the gold package. What did you learn in that one?
Well, I learned very shortly after I signed up for it that it was a complete fraud. My business partner went to the first seminar that was part of that package. I wasn't able to attend the first one. And he came back and told me that they were offering the same package that we had paid $35,000 for $15,000 as a group mentorship. So he was enraged. And we started looking into things. Our mentors were not calling us. All the materials that we were supposed to be receiving by email were not delivered. We soon discovered very quickly that it was a fraud and tried
Sherry,
to start the...
Mm-hmm. Sherry, are you involved in an active class action lawsuit?
I was part of the California suit, but I disputed this with my five credit card companies, and I actually won my money back.
Oh,
they
that's good.
Conducted their own separate investigations and found that the services were completely not rendered, and there were other unscrupulous business practices. So I actually won my money back and pulled out of the suit.
Well, Sherry, listen, I know we missed you the other day. We appreciate you finding time to talk about this with us.
I think it's really important. People should know. Thank you for having me.
I hate you.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Well, Todd, we are going to be heading for Game 7. The Cavaliers won, and Steph Curry got in trouble.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. By the way, greetings from Faribault. I believe it's pronounced Faribault, Minnesota. As Paul and my quest for 50 states goes on later on tonight, we will make Fargo, North Dakota, and that will be our 50th.
All right, now, Todd, I am assuming that the quest here is to have sex in all 50 states.
Are you saying will there be some boot knocking tonight in Fargo?
That's what I'm asking.
Yes, sir, my friend. No, it's going to happen. Come on. Of course. Come on. You know.
Congratulations.
Anyway, though, you're talking about the basketball game, and I mean, here it is. We're going to go to Game 7, Cleveland last night, 115-101 over Golden State. LeBron, 41 points. Kyrie Irving, 23 points. But how much frustration for Seth Curry fouling out of the game, throwing his mouthpiece. He had 30 points, but he's at a breaking point and a frustration point. I know his coach, Steve Kerr, had some pointed words after the game.
He had every right to be upset. He's the MVP of the league. He gets six fouls called on him. Three of them were absolutely ridiculous.
So, yeah.
There you go. and the other thing, Mark, is that, you know, the way if the officials allow Cleveland to hold and grab and be more physical, advantage Cleveland because, let's face it, Golden State has to be able to run their picks and screens and set up those outside shots. So we'll see what happens Sunday.
Todd, question.
Day.
I saw a quote from somebody, and I'm sorry, I don't know who it was, but they were alluding that this whole thing of Game 6 was all about making sure Game 7 happened for money.
Well, you think that might happen? I mean, a Game 7, the ratings, the TV ratings and everything else, and the sponsors being happy and the ticket sales and everything else, there is a lot of money on the line to go to a Game 7.
But
in baseball, we got the Dodgers losing Milwaukee 8-6. Trace Thompson, though, Clay Thompson's brother, a double, a home run, and three runs batted in. And Victor Martinez, the designated hitter for the Detroit Tigers yesterday, three home runs in one game as Detroit beat Kansas City 10-4. NFL news, and I ask this question. What does Russell Wilson and Khloe Kardashian have in common? Mm. Russell Wilson, of course, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. The answer is Gunnar Peterson. They share the same offseason trainer. So apparently Russell Wilson's been working out with Gunnar, who also works out Angelina Jolie, Bruce Willis, and Matthew McConaughey. So the guy's got quite the list of clients. I guess you'd say he's training to the stars. And Von Miller, Mark, of course, the hero for Super Bowl champion Broncos, says there's no chance he will play 2016 as a franchise tag player. He wants a long-term contract, and he has already turned down 6 years, $114 million. Boy, that's a lot of money to turn down.
You said it the other day. These next 5 years will be the prime of his career, and he wants prime money.
Yeah, and I mean, this is you get one chance, for a lot of pro athletes, one chance to get the mega deal, and this is his mega deal chance. Because the window of opportunity, especially for NFL players, a defensive player, is a lot narrower than, let's say, other sports.
Hey, Von Miller, this is Mark Thompson. Listen. Come to Carolina. I will pick you up at the airport, and we will munch on cucumber sandwiches as I drop you off at Bank of America Stadium. Come on, you're welcome.
I don't know if the Carolina Panthers can afford both Cam Newton and Von Miller. That's a lot of money wrapped up into two players.
No question.
Meanwhile, in soccer, Copa America. This is the big tournament going on in the Western Hemisphere. USA beat Ecuador 2-1. Clint Dempsey scoring the go-ahead and winning goal. So now USA advances to the semis. And perhaps you watched some U.S. Open yesterday, but chances are you didn't. They had a lot of rain problems and rain delays. They're just finishing up the first round today. A guy by the name of Andrew Landry. I really haven't heard of the guy. He was in first place at -4. Bubba has finished. He's at -1. Spieth has finished his first round at +2. And Rory McIlroy finishes his first round +7. Seven. That's not very good. Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Don't forget, check them out this weekend, Father's Day weekend. Hey, all you dads, have a great, great Father's Day weekend. And certainly that's the wishes of Frontier Toyota.
Speaking of Father's Day, coming up at 20 minutes after 8, the Thompson kids will join me, and they won't tell me what they're planning. At 8:35, of course, Sunday being Father's Day, I've got the top 10 foods Dad wants on Father's Day, and by percentage, the gifts that Dad will receive on Father's Day. Okay, so on any given day, on any given break, I am the quarterback of this show. I decide what's going to go on the air and how it's going to happen. To this break, I know nothing. Linda's standing in front of me. Katie's in the room. Ooh. Matt and Amy are on the phone. Good morning, Matt and Amy.
Good morning, Dad.
All right. So, and Danny has sent me a link that I'll click on when it's time.
We have created for you a Father's Day surprise. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead and click on the link. And we know how you feel. And we want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
All right, I'm clicking on it.
I'm so excited. My heart, my hands, I'm shaking, I'm sweating.
I know how you feel. How do you feel when I hurt your feelings? Tell me how you want it to.
Wow. Wow, they're totally recreating this.
I know how you feel, how I want.
How I want, how I want.
And I know you and I can see you, I believe. Now you see me how I want and then I don't see you.
Oh, yeah.
This is incredible. Amy's dancing in the background with Moroccans.
You know everything good. I'm with you. We stay together every time.
Standing ovation.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah, so there it is. Now, Mark, if you can catch your breath, you have to explain what just happened.
All right, talk, because I'm going to pull up the original.
So, Katie, talk about this.
We decided to redo I Know How You Feel. It's very hard to sing like your six-year-old self, uh-huh. So I had to go ahead and channel that. But Matt's back there on the drums, and we thought, well, we got to include Amy. Yeah. So she's in there with her maraca, and she's kind of the best part.
She sang a little backup.
Oh, yeah.
How you feel?
All right, so so what you just heard was in Matthew's rehearsal studio. Matt was on the drums, and by the way, the drumming on the recreation of what I'm about to play was spot on.
Yep.
Amy dancing with the maracas. But when Katie was 4, Matthew was out in the drum room and he was drumming. I think he's 10 or whatever it is. And so he's drumming. Katie decides, and he's recording himself. Katie decides to pick up the mic and do this.
I know how you feel. How do you feel when I hurt your feelings? Tell me how you want it to be.
Your mother's dancing to it.
How can you not?
Drumfield.
By a 10-year-old.
I know how you feel, how I want, how I want, how I want. When I know you, when I sing, like I can believe. Now you see me how I want, and then I don't see you.
Big finish. So, Mikey, take the original from the Inco and put it up on Facebook, and then take the recreation video and put that up. I've always told my kids, don't get me any gifts. Don't buy me gifts. I don't want them because, you know, whatever I want, I go get it. That is the greatest. That was fantastic.
And it wouldn't have been able to been done without Matthew. He shot it, recorded it, edited it, all of that. So thank you, Matthew.
What about me?
Well, you stood Amy, in the back with the maraca.
Amy, you made it with the dancing and the maraca.
I understand that I was the highlight.
That was the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yes.
I couldn't have loved it more. Thank you for all the trouble you guys went to.
We love you.
Happy Father's Day, bitch.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Hey, Rita. Hey, Rita,
no,
look at this.
No,
take a look
don't,
at this right
no.
Here.
Rita, he loves you. He knows not what he does. Stop spanking yourself.
So come close. On, Rita. Get right up in there, bitch. All right. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Gray.
Rita, we're so sorry. Well, Meat Loaf's rep says he's expected to make a full recovery after collapsing on stage in Canada last night. Philadelphia became the first major American city with a soda tax on Thursday, despite a multi-million dollar campaign by the beverage industry to block it. And the news that no diehard Hamilton fan wants to hear has arrived. Lin-Manuel Miranda, its creator and star, is leaving the show this summer, but he promises to return, quote, again and again. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, the top 10 Father's Day foods and gifts. But first, Journey. This is Mark in the Morning.
All right. Going to the phones. This is crazy. Listen to this. Rob is calling me from Croatia.
Ooh.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Really good. Now, why are you in Croatia?
I'm working here. I called you about a year ago from Russia. I'm the guy who travels for a living. And I'm in here in Croatia. We've got an office here. And I've got about 50 great, awesome Croatians working with me. And we're making websites for companies like Procter & Gamble and a bunch of other American companies.
All right. So out of 365 days, how many days are you traveling?
Well, I travel about every 9 days. I'm somewhere else every 9 days. So I go to Russia, go to Geneva a lot, go to Croatia here in Pula. I still have my family house in Santa Maria, California, and I got a place in New York, and then I have my home in Moscow.
Wow.
So it's crazy.
You're rich, aren't you?
I guess suppose compared to some folks, I may be, but I have some of the best friends around the world, and I am indeed rich.
Aww.
That's killer good. Now, do you listen to the podcast in Croatia?
Yeah, because they block all of the transmission on online, so I'm listening to the podcast, and I still, dude, I have every single one of the M&L podcasts if I want to really laugh at some nice blue humor. And I've still got M&B. I'm probably listener number 44 on M&B because I started at college in Cal State Fullerton the week that you guys started in at KLOS. So I'm dyed-in-the-wool Mark boy.
Wow. And Rob, you'll get a kick. The way Linda described the Mark and Linda podcast, somebody was telling Linda, great job. And her response was, no, Mark did all the work. I just came down and cussed.
That's exactly right. And this is why I'm calling, because I've got a team of 50 people here, that about 80% women, just really super talented, super enthusiastic ladies. And, We drive to Venice. It's only about 2.5 hours away, to catch a plane to go meet our clients in Geneva. And we do this about once a month whenever I'm here. And whenever we go, they always request the same thing, play Mark in the morning. And so we play, listen to you. We listen to the Kristen James Hand stuff. It's just really great. And then I realized we've been working on a client. This is a global client. This will double our business overnight if we get it. And this week, we had them here in Croatia. They sent a whole delegation down here, a huge team of people. And just before we went into the meeting, it became clear that a bunch of my guys are listening to Mark in the Morning on the podcast themselves without me, because we get into a huddle, and one of my girls said, look, Rob, I want to say it this time, because we always give each other like a pep talk. And so we get in our huddle, and she's just like, sweet Lord, baby Jesus. And I just fell out. And we never got through the prayer because we were all laughing so much because we all recognized where the hell it came from. These are people who do not speak English natively. And, you know, you hang out with people, and they kind of pick up on what you're saying. But sweet Lord, baby Jesus just killed me.
Well, Rob, listen, I got to tell you, you people like you, is why I come down to this studio and give it everything I've got. I try to build a radio show each day that I would listen to if I were in the car. But to hear you, day one, Mark and Brian, Mark and Linda podcast, and now Mark in the Morning, you represent all of those people who really enjoy what it is that we do. And I thank you and all of you from the bottom of my heart. It means so much. Rob, you're a great man to call me and share these great words. You made my weekend.
Hey, thank you so much, man. And what you do really, you guys are my companion. You're my travel companion. I'm in at least once every like 9 or 10 days, I'm in a terminal getting a proctological exam from the folks at TSA. And, you know, to go through that, you accompany me and make it a lot easier. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I'm waiting for cool stories and music to get syndicated.
So am
and,
I.
How about you throw me some Sticks tickets?
Man, Gladys Knight and the Pips, her vocals are just the best. This is Daddy Could Swear, I Declare. All right, here we go. Dad's top 10 favorite foods that he wants to consume on Father's Day. And I got to tell you, this is a sharp list. Very solid. Number 10. It's been forever since I've had it, but I loved them as a kid because my mother worked, and a lot of times I would have to make my own dinner. Mm-hmm. And pot pies were easy to put in the oven, and a good thick with pastry pot pie with beef or chicken or whatever you like. Number 10, pot pie. Number 9, I am a chili file. And do you know, I've been going to Chili's, the restaurant Chili's, forever. And for whatever reason, I never ordered the chili.
Do they have chili?
I don't know.
Oh, dude.
Oh, God.
Not only do they have chili, it is shredded filet mignon in the frickin' chili.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, listen, next time you're at a Chili's and you're in the mood for chili, get it there.
Do you believe that the only chili that is really chili is beef chili?
Oh, no.
Because
no.
I make a crazy insane chicken chili, and Josh Fleeger has told me time and again that I'm not allowed to call that a chili.
Listen, I am a chili file. It's not the meat per se that does it. It's the whole concoction.
I like the way you think.
And by the way, no beans, please. No beans.
Okay.
It's too there. Those big kidney beans should not exist on the face of the earth. So if I do get chili in the sky, I just rake them to the side.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
We're in the middle of the top 10 foods Dad wants on Father's Day. Number 8, grilled cheese sandwich.
Really? That's easy.
Now, those of you that are, if you're not into meat, but if you go to Five Guys, this is what Linda eats. They make a mad grilled cheese.
Yeah.
They take the bun that they would normally, and they invert it, and they do it that way.
That makes so much more sense, because I got what Linda got, and I was like, this bread looks weird.
Yeah, they inverted it.
Okay, that was smart. I like
it.
And
so you can get all the Five Guy fixings on your grilled cheese sandwich. That's what Linda gets. It's great. The number 7 food that Dad wants to eat on Father's Day, meatloaf. Amy and I were at a restaurant for lunch. You know how they have the sandwich board outside that tells today's special?
Yeah.
It said meatloaf. And Amy goes, what is meatloaf?
What?
And I said, how is it that you've lived this long and you've never had meatloaf?
You guys never made meatloaf for dinner?
No.
Wow. With the ketchup on top?
Oh, I love it. Now, we sat down and I ordered, we got what we wanted, but I got a side of it so she could try it. And in this particular one, it had chopped up onions in it.
Yeah.
It had cheese inside the meatloaf. She took one bite. And it was the crack cocaine of food. I didn't get a bite of it because she polished it.
Oh, my God. She'd never heard of meatloaf.
Nuts. All right. Here's probably one of the favorites of all time, and it kind of doesn't matter. Macaroni and cheese. Mm. And if it's done well, and I'm not talking about Kraft because it's not cheese. Right. It's soft or whatever it is.
Now, what kind of noodle do you prefer? Because you know what my favorite macaroni and cheese is, even though it's not a macaroni noodle? Mm. I like the shells, those big shells.
Oh, sure.
They hold all the cheese inside.
I didn't go a little rigatoni.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to beat. Number 5, spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, it's the best.
Number 4, I am a nut for this. I once made it from scratch. And it was the one time that I could have divorced Linda and been perfectly fine with it. It was Christmas, and I made 2 trays of lasagna from scratch. It took me 8 hours dealing with the noodles. So
wait, where did you get this recipe? From your old Italian grandmother that you don't have?
Oh, no, I looked it up on the internet.
Oh, good for you.
And so I made it. And so we ate 1 tray of it Christmas Eve. And then we were going to have the next tray Christmas night.
That sounds good.
I woke up.
Uh-oh.
And I said, Linda, did you put the lasagna that was sitting on the stove back in the refrigerator like I asked you? And she hadn't.
Oh, no!
I had to take that entire tray of lasagna and just rake it into the garbage disposal.
No!
Because it sat out all night. You can't.
You can't? I mean,
well, you shouldn't.
You shan't.
It might have been okay, but nobody's going to risk it.
That had to be like burning money. That had to just be go against everything you felt.
Well, I went as far as calling an attorney about it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The number 3 thing Dad wants on Father's Day, ice cream.
Hmm.
Number 2, fried chicken. And number 1.
Can I guess?
Please.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but I don't know how it could be anything else. I was thinking hot dogs, hamburgers. It's gotta be steak.
It is not.
I have no idea.
We'll come back to it.
Oh, damn it.
And now, the top things Dad would like for Father's Day. DVD, 2%. Books and or ebooks, 5%. Smartphone, 9%. Spa services, 10%.
Oh.
Automotive needs, 10%. Sporting goods, 14%. Home improvement items, 15%. Next, wine and spirits, 15%, because Dad needs to be drunk to deal with the kids on his day. 18%, electronics. 20%, tools. Number 2, at 35%, clothing. Mm. Take a guess at the number 1 item Dad wants on Father's Day.
Oh, be left alone. I don't know. I'll use you as my example. Cigars?
Let's go back to the food. Damn, what is it. The number one food that Dad wants on Father's Day?
I thought it was steak.
Your hint is Mikey.
Grilled board op.
Tell her, Mikey.
Pizza.
Oh,
it is pizza.
Nice.
All right. What is the number one thing Dad wants? And I'll give you a hint. I believe this to be the best gift anybody can give anybody, especially in this day and age.
Is this a trick question?
Nope.
Because if you're saying it, then it might be nothing.
No, it's not nothing. It's something.
Okay, a homemade gift.
Nope.
God. Gift card.
It is
gift
card.
Well, it took me 8 tries.
All right, so Father's Day for me, tomorrow, Skeeter and I are going to drive down into South Carolina. Everybody's coming here for the 4th. If you think Target of fireworks, that's they're these gigantic warehouses, and they are packed floor to ceiling with the biggest, most expansive thing of fireworks you can imagine. And we are going to load the frick up.
Do you ever get anything that you don't know what it does?
They have really good people that work there that tell you what this does. And then if you still don't understand, they'll show you a video of the firework being exploded.
So this isn't some roadside stand that we're all used to when it comes to fireworks.
This is, I'm not kidding, it is a Target of fireworks.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to do that. And then Sunday we're going to go see intelligence.
Central intelligence. Are you going to use that thing that you had that welder make for last 4th of July?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because we get out on the beach and, you know, the kids do it. I just sit back and watch it. Boats sit in the bay, and if you do a good show, they blow their horn.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's great.
It's going to be pretty awesome. And Mikey, what are you doing?
Just barbecue, family barbecue with both sides of the family and a couple of friends. Yeah, it'll be fun.
And you were saying that you're going to have to get out there early because it's going to be 110.
Yeah, 110 in the valley, so I think I'm going to start barbecuing around 6 a.m. You know?
Poor guy.
All right, it's good stuff. Before we get into trending, Miss Grad is going to be out and about in the community today.
Yes, at 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. tonight at the Vons in Simi Valley. Going to be out there, 1855 East Cochrane Street out in Simi Valley. I'm going to be there with the sound crew, Subaru, ABC7, doing their Feed SoCal Hunger Initiative. So come by, say hi, we'll take a picture, we'll hug, bring a non-perishable food item, or you can buy a pre-filled box on site for $5 and donate that. We're going to stuff my Subaru Crosstrek full of food for hungry people. It'll be so easy. It'll be a lot of fun. Come out 4:30 today at Vons in Simi Valley.
And by the way, that hug with Gina is not optional. She will force it on you.
I do. I jump on people. I do force myself on you. And I never can just give one hug, so be prepared to be manhandled. All right, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, well, Led Zeppelin and Spirits are back. Spirit are back in court again today. And as premier rock correspondent Dave Schultz told us this morning, they're not allowed to play the actual Spirit song that's in question. They're only allowed to play a transcribed version on the piano. How weird is that?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. I get it, I guess, because it came from the judge. But I would say that's going to play in favor of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I don't know anything about anything. I am the farthest from a law degree as a person could possibly get, but I just have this feeling that the defense, that Led Zeppelin side, had a little sidebar with the judge, if you know what I mean, and said, what can we do to make sure this song doesn't actually get played in the courtroom? Because they are making this much harder to prove now. I wonder why they did that.
I don't know.
Meanwhile, the second black box from Egypt Air Flight 804 has been recovered from the Mediterranean Sea. Egyptian officials say the second black box, which contains the flight data recorder, will provide more clues into what caused the flight to crash on May 19th. It killed all 66 people on board. The discovery comes one day after the black box containing the cockpit voice recorder was found. Both will be analyzed, and officials will soon announce their findings into the cause of the crash. I know people can't wait to get this information because we have no information.
Mm.
And you know, the one we're also still wondering about is Malaysia. These mysteries, people don't like unsolved mysteries. We want to know what happened to these planes.
You have to know.
Well, somebody has to know.
Yeah, that way you can prevent stuff like this happening in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. Finally, according to a new study, people who get to sleep late, even if they get a lot of sleep, tend to have a poor diet and put themselves at a greater risk of becoming obese, especially men. Researchers found that the amount of sleep was not the problem. Instead, the problem is delaying sleep until late into the night. Guys who go to bed late, and they end up eating more fast food, fewer vegetables, don't exercise enough. So something to consider next time you want to get your Netflix binge on at midnight. And I've been guilty of this, but thank God this job does not allow that life anymore. So you go to sleep early, you get up early, you go to the gym, and make things a little better. Everybody get yourself a job. You gotta get up at 4. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Boston.
That wraps it. It is a weekend. It is Father's Day. And I've been taking care of a sickie for 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to not. Mikey, what do we have for the 10 at 10?
All right. Joe's out again today. Cynthia will be in. But we have a manly Father's Day 10 at 10. So songs about being a man.
You yeah. said that so manly.
Thank you.
Songs about being a man.
There it is.
Mark, back to you.
All right. So all next week, we've got Mickey Dolenz in the room, lead singer from the Monkees, Gene Simmons back on the show, and Chick on the Street is going to be out and about with a rousing round of the fastest food. Mikey.
All right. I don't want to be around here either, Tom Petty. Don't come around. No, actually, I love being here. Don't come around here no more, Tom Petty. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Is that your resignation letter?
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.